Amen. And so now we're going to have Pastor Deb come and share with us the word. Don't you love Pastor Deb? She's amazing.
Here we are. It is the most wonderful time of the year. And depending on your stance on one of our great, great American debates of the time, when is it appropriate to start celebrating Christmas? See, I know we're a house divided, I'm sure, on that. You might tell me, oh, no, we're not quite there yet. Save your Merry Christmases. Loida really just ticked me off with that. Away in a manger this morning. What are all these Christmas trees? It's not Christmas yet. Well, you're half right. You're kind of right. It's not Christmas yet. In fact, today marks the beginning of a season of celebration that prepares and anticipates Christmas. Today is the beginning of Advent. Yay! It's my favorite. Advent is my total favorite. And by the looks on your faces, I think you would tell me some of the same things I've heard in the past couple weeks. Things like, what is Advent? In fact, I'm streaming live on behalf of my mama and Wayne Pop. They're like, yeah, what's Advent? We want to hear this. Love you. yeah, what is Advent? Or wait, we celebrate that here? I thought we were like, I don't know, Southern. I thought we were like evangelical. I thought we were Protestant. We celebrate Advent? Well, I'm so confused. What is this? So I'm not going to give you a history lesson, because I actually paid Wikipedia $3. I donated to them this week for them to do that for you. So I'm not going to give you a big history lesson. But the short answers, respectively, to those two questions are, Advent is a season observed as a time of expectant waiting and preparation for the coming of Jesus. And yes, we celebrate Advent here. If you look around, we celebrate it everywhere. Whether we realize it or not, it's exactly the spirit of Advent that has us all swept up, right? We're redecorating our houses. We're in a frenzy of preparation and expectation. We're cooking and baking nonstop. I heard that Christina even made a homemade apple pie. If that's not the spirit of Advent, I don't know what is. We open our homes, we buy gifts, we carefully wrap them until, like, you know, in the beginning of wrapping season, it's so pretty. You're like so careful. And then as it gets closer, you're just kind of like, they're going to open it in 3 hours anyway. It doesn't matter. Oh, we write letters to Santa Claus. We set out cookies and milk. We donate to charity. We make extra efforts toward the needy. The spirit of expectant waiting, preparation of Advent. It's very strong. It's everywhere. You better watch out. Better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming. Or how about this one? City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air, there's a feeling of Christmas. Or how about Santa baby, slip a sable under the tree for me. You don't act like you don't know these. Don't act holy. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Or how about, all I want for Christmas is my two front teeth. Or the worst Christmas song of all time. Sir, I want to buy these shoes for my mama. It's the saddest, it's the worst. Don't. I saw this meme on Instagram and it was like, this like church person. It was like, says to the worship pastor, what are the chances we can sing Christmas shoes this year? And the worship pastor goes, zero. The chances are zero. We are never going to sing that song. It is so sad. Oh man, but magic's in the air, right? Santa Claus is coming to town. A new year's on the horizon. Everybody's waiting. Everybody's hoping. Everybody's getting prepared. What are we hoping for?
Jesus.
Baby Jesus. Food. A sable under the tree. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what's on your Christmas list this year. But I was reading this sort of ancient Christmas list, and it got me. It got me in the feels, so I'm going to share it with you. It's in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7, and I'm not sure if y'all got those, and if you didn't, it's okay. I'm going to read them from the NIV. And Isaiah the prophet said, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now remember, this is a prophecy. This is not something that's happened. But talk about expectant hope. A child is born. This is expectant hope of a people who have been enslaved and defeated and taken captive and oppressed generation after generation after generation. They're hoping for justice and peace. It's ancient. It's old. It's not the only one. There are lots of these old Christmas lists. They were held onto for a really, really long time. In fact, about 700 years later is when the angel visits Mary. 700 years. 700 years later, the angel visits Mary. And he tells her this super mysterious, outrageous thing. And I am stunned at her response. Let's read pieces of it here. This is going to be in Luke chapter 1. These are simple, really big chunks of text, so take them home and read them. I'm sure you're going to hear them a lot over the next. These are all the typical kind of Christmas texts. The angel says in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, he says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy," we're going to talk about her in a sec too, "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.'" This seems very reasonable to me, that Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. No word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Mind blown. Super weird encounter. Here comes the angel talking to her about her ancient history. He's talking to her about Jacob and David and all these people she's never met and she's only read about them. And he's like, "Hey, remember those old Christmas lists. Remember what your people, your ancestors, your relatives have been praying for and talking about, and you reread the stories every year and you talk about it and you pray about it and you wonder if it's true, those old Christmas lists. You're gonna bring forth the child." And besides just a few questions of like, how is that even possible? She pretty much is like, "Well, let's go for it." And what that tells me is that her people, I don't know if it was her family, her faith community, her town, maybe the whole people in general, I don't know, but they had kept that hope alive for centuries. For her to even know what he was even talking about, for her to even connect with what is even happening right now, this young girl. So they have a couple of exchanges as we read, and Mary's like, "What did he say about Elizabeth? I gotta go see what's going on." So she visits Elizabeth and Zachariah, who have also been experiencing some very mysterious angelic encounters. I love this encounter with Mary and Elizabeth. When they meet, when they see each other, there's a buzz in the air between them. There's an expectancy. There's a hope. Listen to this. This just keeps going right where we were. "At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb," because Elizabeth was pregnant too, you know, "and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." That hope was still alive. "For unto us a child is born." Man, that's amazing to me. And the next text we see is this. I feel really lucky that this somehow got included. It's one of those texts that, like, it didn't have to be there. And I'm sure Mary sang a lot of songs while she was pregnant with Jesus. I'm sure she rejoiced a lot of days. I'm sure she had a journal full of poetry. I'm sure she had songs floating around in her head. And somehow, one of them made its way into our text. And I feel really lucky that we get to see this. It's the very next text. It's called Mary's Song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. What a treat. Mary singing about the hope that's still alive, the preparedness, the readiness, the expectant hope. This is Advent. Do you feel it? That's Advent. That when it comes, when you have that encounter, she was ready. She was prepared. She didn't know what it was going to look like. I guarantee you, sitting in Bible school reading the prophet's Isaiah, she never thought, oh yeah, so then at some point an angel's going to come and tell me I'm pregnant and that's how we're going to get the Messiah. I don't think anyone thought that. But when the mystery came, she was ready. Because somehow that hope had stayed alive. That hope that there's a better day coming. That hope that we're not alone. That hope that we've not been left to just fend for ourselves. That hope that there's a God that sees when we're oppressed. That hope that there's a God who sees when things aren't working in the system. That hope that help is coming and that help is here and that we're not alone. It was alive and she was ready for it. Man, hundreds of years after Isaiah prophesied, we see these folks, specifically Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and Joseph. I mean, that story is mind-blowing to me too. We see them expectant, living expectantly and prepared to receive good news. What we see here is a centuries-long Advent. The waiting, the hoping, the preparing. I don't know about you, but that is amazing to me. That is so inspiring to me, especially since 400 of those 700 years, there had not been a single word of prophecy. There had not been a single new word. There had not been a single update. The prophets had not updated the status. Nobody knew. All they had were these ancient things. And still, this hope is alive. It inspires me to hope for a better future. To expectantly wait the new things that are coming for me and for my family and for my friends and for my church and for my community. I'm inspired to remind you of the good news that is Advent. Some of y'all might be like, wait a minute, I thought good news and gospel and all those words were like Easter words, resurrection words. I'm so glad you sang right all over this today, Lord. I love it. And you're right, the good news, the gospel, the evangelion is tightly related to the message that Jesus' disciples preached after Jesus had risen. And that's usually our context when we talk about the gospel, that Jesus has risen. It's good news. But I want to remind us, though, that the good news was preached long before Resurrection Day. I don't know if that rubs you weird. And it's okay, it kind of rubbed me weird a little bit, like, I don't know about that. Resurrection Day is kind of a big, huge deal. But long before Jesus died, before he suffered, before he taught and healed, we see Luke chapter 2. This is Mary had given birth, and as we know, the little shepherds with their towels over their head and their aluminum foil decorated. I don't know how y'all made your Christmas costumes back in the day, but ours had towel and aluminum foil. The shepherds were out doing their thing, being shepherds. They camped out in the middle of nowhere in pastures. And the angels appeared to them. And it says, there were sheep herders camping in the neighborhood. They had set watches over their sheep. Suddenly God's angel stood among them. And God's glory blazed round about them. They were terrified. Don't be afraid, The angel said, I'm here to announce good news and great joy that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has been born. Right? So long before he healed, long before he died, long before he lived again, long before he did the miracles, long before all these things, he came. He came. And that in itself is really, really big. And it's a really, really good news that I don't want us to miss. And I don't want us to put off till Easter. We'll do it again at Easter. But I don't want to miss the gospel of Advent, the good news that we have here in this moment. He arrived. He came to walk with us. He came to live with us. You didn't want heaven without us, like Lloyd was singing. He came to share in our sorrow and in our joy. And these people that he physically came to, you know, I can just hear them. Life has been hard. We've been oppressed. Justice is so rare. The system is corrupt. Things are messed up. But oh my goodness, God of creation has arrived. He's here. And that makes me think we're going to be okay. Some of y'all know I've been spending a lot of time with Franciscans this year. And they will tell you, Christmas is Easter already. Christmas is Easter already. Because God has come. Emmanuel. He's here. There's a lot in that. I'm not smart enough to go there yet. But I like it. And it inspires me. And it reminds me of good news. And it reminds me of new creation. And it reminds me of what God has really done. Of what Jesus has really done. Oh my goodness, there's so many sermons. There's so many nuggets. There's so much good news to contemplate in the Advent. Like when you don't get what you asked for. That'd be a good Christmas sermon, right? Like when you don't, like you put your list into Santa and what you got wasn't really what you asked for. I bet that's how Mary felt when she's given birth in a barn. She was probably like, the angel did not mention this. There are animals here. This is not clean. I want my mom. Jesus, like, as a whole, everything about him is that. Like, you're not what we were looking for. You're not what we asked for. Even John the Baptist, his own, like, John the Baptist is in prison because of Jesus. And John has this moment where he sends his disciples to Jesus and he's like, can you just ask him one more time? Like, is he who we were expecting? Because, to be honest, you're not what we were expecting. Like, his own people really questioned, you know, they were looking for a Messiah, somebody that would overthrow government, someone that would come in on a war horse and topple kings and start a war and rebuild justice. And he didn't do any of that. He rode a donkey. You know, so that's a good Advent nugget when you don't get what you ask for. Or how about Jesus is for everybody? You know, the poor shepherds and the kings, the wise men that came to visit. That'll preach hard. That'll preach good. I thought about going that direction. But the good news nugget, and to be honest, I sort of had like parts to this because I wasn't sure how much time I was going to have. So we do get to go here, and it's very short. But it is a little nugget. And it's what the Dragging Sunday thing is about that you see up there. And it comes from like a side comment that I made. I was preaching in Florida last month. And don't you love it when you've prepared a whole sermon and nobody seems to remember any of that, but they remember like the weird side comments you made? And that's what they want to talk about? And you're like, "That I didn't even mean to say that." But okay, let's talk about it. So this was one of those. This was just like a strange side comment that I made. And it turned out to be the thing that I wound up talking with people about. And so I've been thinking about it. And the comment was something like, "I love church, but a primary intention in my life is to drag Sunday into Monday." And what I mean by that, and y'all are my people, so you know this. What I mean by that is that worship doesn't stop when we walk out the door. You know, we live our worship every single day of the week. Apostle Paul says it something like this. He challenges us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. He says, "This is your spiritual act of worship." The Message says, "Take your everyday life and present it to God." Our bodies, our time, our money, all of it. Every day. And so, you know, if you've been with me on Glory Tribe for the past 2.5 years, and hello, you've heard this at least 130 times. That's 2.5 years once a week. Anyway, 130 times. The thing even has its own track. I made a CD, and it has its own track, The Response. Y'all know The Response. Like, it's for me, it's a big deal. It's a really big deal. It's a really big intention in my life for worship to not just be here, you know? And I seem a little obsessed. I realize that. But the thing is that Jesus is the one, he's got me totally obsessed because his very existence is dragging Sunday or dragging heaven, refusing to keep glory in glory. Refusing to let glory stay separate. Refusing to let the holiness of himself to be contained somewhere far off, sitting on a cloud or whatever. He didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. I'm obsessed with that. Refusing to keep glory in glory, Jesus brings heaven to earth. He prayed, "Father, let your kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is Advent. When he breathed his last breath, the veil of the temple, which symbolically separated God from people. And for those people, at least in their self, it physically separated them. Not everyone could even go there. The veil which symbolically separated God from people, holy from unholy, sacred from profane, was ripped in half. Dragging Sunday into Monday forever. You know, I don't know where that hits you. I have no idea. Maybe, you know, it hits me in the Christmas feels. It does. Because I love the Advent. I love Christmas. I love this idea that that just everything teems with this hope, this expectancy. I am so excited. I am so inspired and just completely in love with the God who doesn't stay in heaven, who comes and walks the earth and, in fact, is born just like I was born, just like you were born. His mama labored with him. Man, that's good news. But it goes beyond that. See, it's not just philosophical, even though the philosophy of it is so tasty, it's so delicious, but it's not just philosophical and out in the ethers. It means that we have help. It means that we're not left alone. It means we're not trying to figure this stuff out by ourselves. It means when the system's broken and when things are stacked against us, there's still hope. There's a God who sees. There's a God who watches. There's a God that came to a nobody from nowhere and said, little girl, you're highly favored. And I'm going to do something with your life you can't even imagine. You know, and it's practical. Because as we know, we're part of it. Jesus brings heaven to earth, and we take Sunday out into Monday. I think it's really cool, and I keep trying to like sort of adjust my own psyche around this, and it hasn't happened yet. But I think it's really cool that a lot of the Western church, the Orthodox church, this is the new year. This is the beginning of the church calendar. Which I think we can sort of connect with because we're almost to the new year, right? You're already peeking into 2019. What a way to begin something. What a way to march into something new. To a new space. In the spirit of Advent. In the spirit that we are not alone. In the spirit that there is hope. That God has not left us, that these lost dreams, my goodness, these were 700-year-old Christmas lists. 700-year-old hopes and dreams. And God had not forgotten, and neither had that little girl Mary, and probably not her family, because how else would she have known? They're still holding on to those things. I didn't really think I was going to do this, but let's go ahead and let's get ready to pray. Will you do come? Because here's what I feel like, and I didn't really see this coming. But some of us have those old Christmas lists. We've got those old hopes, those old dreams. They've been shelved. Maybe they've been pulled out and stepped on for reconciliation with family or for to have a family of our own or to do something with your creativity. Or to build something that's been in your heart to make. And I can't tell you. In fact, I'll tell you for sure that it's probably not going to look like you thought when you wrote down the Christmas list. But God has not forgotten those hopes. God has not forgotten that dream. God has not forgotten the promise that was spoken to you. I have no idea why it hasn't happened yet. But I know this, that everything about our faith, every word in this book, every day we celebrate, every symbol we have, it all points to a God that sees. It points to a God that doesn't forget. It points to a God that doesn't throw away your dreams. Have hope. Have hope in the things to come. Have hope for the new season. Have hope for what's on the horizon for you and for your family, for this church. Sometimes it means letting go. Mary, bless her heart. Gosh, she had to let go of so much. Her reputation, her relationships. I mean, I can't, I don't, that just tears me up. Think about that. And the last thing I think before we just pray is that I think every single person who receives Jesus has to let go of their expectation of what that is, of who He is. Because Jesus is Jesus. Jesus, we talked about this last night when Moses pressed God for a name. Tell me your name. It wasn't even a name that God said back. It's, I am. I am being. I am. Oh, goodness. So I want to encourage you. This is the season for hope. There's newness here. There's expectancy here. Prepare for it. That's another Christmas sermon, man. Prepare for it. Get ready for it. Get in prayer. See what God says, even if it's kind of weird, even if you don't get it. Sometimes he's leading you to prepare for something that you haven't seen yet. Sometimes he's preparing you for a change that you don't even have on your radar yet. Maybe there's relationships to be rekindled. I'm going to stand. I'm just going to pray over us all. But then if you want to connect in prayer with other people, if you want to come to the altar, it's open, of course. If you want to pray at your seat, if you want to pray, with your neighbor, we'll be up here to pray for you as well. Jesus, would you just ignite hope? Would you just stir up hope in the heart of every single person in this room, no matter where the despair comes from, where the disappointment comes from, where the discouragement comes from? Would you just stir up hope? Because you're here. So there's hope. So there's an answer. So there are good things to come, because you're always working. You're always doing. You're always, always working. You're always working for our good. So would you just stir up hope, God? And even if it's dreams, even if it's hopes that have laid dormant, even if it's dreams that have broken our hearts, but they're still there. Would you just move it? Like, I just see the Spirit kind of sweeping in like a wind. And you know how, like, when there's no wind moving in a room, everything just kind of settles, all the dust just settles on the floor. But you open a window or you throw open a door and air comes in, and just the dust just moves around. You can just see it in the light. You see all the dust bunnies. And Holy Spirit, would you just be that wind? Would you just be that wind that blows into those rooms that maybe we have shut up, we have locked the door, we have closed the window, that's over. We don't want to touch that anymore. It has broken our heart. We've been disappointed. We've been discouraged. We've failed. But God, you still see those dreams. You still see those Christmas lists. You still see those hopes. And so for some people in this room, God, I'm asking that you just open that door and that you blow in and you stir that dream up. For people in this room who feel very lonely, they feel very lonely, and in particular at this time of year, they feel very lonely. Holy Spirit, I ask you, in the spirit of Advent, in the spirit of coming, in the spirit of being with us and being near us, God, that you just preach that to those hearts every single day, that you're the God that comes to be near us. You're the God that holds us by the hand. You're the God that walks every step. You're the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Oh, would you just preach that to our souls every day? Be near to the lonely, Jesus. That's what you do. That is literally what you do. Stir up hope, Holy Spirit. Stir up hope, and we thank you and we rejoice that you are Emmanuel. You are God with us. You're not a God made of stone. You're not a God on a pedestal. You're not a God on a cloud. You're the God that's walking with us and talking with us and make your home with us. Remind us of that. See, it sounds, that's the thing, y'all. It sounds real good on a Sunday that Jesus walks with us and talks with us. But what about during the week? When you're under so much pressure, when things aren't working out like you thought they would, Holy Spirit, remind us in those moments that you're there, you're working, you're with us. We love you, we thank you. Are you coming?